The Magna Carta, Anonymous. Listen to and download free AI-generated audiobooks at 3ords.com. The Project Gutenberg ebook of The Magna Carta. This ebook is for the use of anyone anywhere in the United States and most other parts of the world at no cost and with almost no restrictions whatsoever. You may copy it, give it away, or reuse it under the terms of the Project Gutenberg license included with this ebook or online. www.gutenberg.org. If you are not located in the United States, you will have to check the laws of the country where you are located before using this ebook. Title: The Magna Carta Author, Anonymous. Release date: March 1, 2006. Ebook 10,000. Most recently updated: October 28, 2024. Language: English. Other information and formats: www.gutenberg.org/ebook/10,000. Credits: Michael Hart. Asterisk start of the project GUTMBRG EBOOK the MAGNA CARTA asterisk. The Magna Carta contents. The text of Magna Carta. Magna Carta 1215. The text of the MAGNA CARTA. A note from Michael Hart, preparer of the 0.1 version. This file contains a number of versions of the Magna Carta, some of which were a little mangled in transit. I am sure our volunteers will find and correct errors I didn't catch, and that version 0.21 will have significant improvements, as well as at least one more version in Latin. Version 1 may contain a dozen different versions. The text of Magna Carta. John, by the grace of God, King of England, Lord of Ireland, Duke of Normandy, and Aquitaine, and Count of Anjou to his archbishops, bishops, abbots, earls, barons, justices, foresters, sheriffs, stewards, servants, and to all his officials and loyal subjects, greeting. Know that before God, for the health of our soul and those of our ancestors and heirs to the honor of God, the exaltation of the Holy Church and the better ordering of our kingdom at the advice of our Reverend Father Stephen, Archbishop of Canterbury, Primate of all England and Cardinal of the Holy Roman Church, Henry Archbishop of Dublin, William Bishop of London, Peter Bishop of Winchester, Jocelyn Bishop of Bath and Glastonbury, Hugh Bishop of Lincoln, Walter Bishop of Worcester, William Bishop of Coventry, Benedict Bishop of Rochester, Master Pandulf Subdeacon and Member of the Papal Household, Brother Imeric Master of the Knighthood of the Temple in England, William Marshall Earl of Pembroke, William Earl of Salisbury, William Earl of Warren, William Earl of Arundel, Alan de Galloway Constable of Scotland, Warren Fitzgerald, Peter Fitzherbert, Hubert de Burgh Seneschal of Poitou, Hugh de Neville, Matthew Fitzherbert, Thomas Bassett, Alan Bassett, Philip Daubeny, Robert de Ropoli, John Marshall, John Fitzhugh, and other loyal subjects. One first that we have granted to God, and by this present charter have confirmed for us and our heirs in perpetuity that the English Church shall be free and shall have its rights undiminished and its liberties unimpaired. That we wish this so to be observed appears from the fact that of our own free will, before the outbreak of the present dispute between us and our barons, we granted and confirmed by charter the freedom of the Church's elections, a right reckoned to be of the greatest necessity and importance to it, and caused this to be confirmed by Pope Innocent III. This freedom we shall observe ourselves, and desire to be observed in good faith by our heirs in perpetuity. To all free men of our kingdom we have also granted, for us and our heirs for ever, all the liberties written out below, to have and to keep for them and their heirs of us and our heirs. 2. If any earl, baron, or other person that holds lands directly of the crown, for military service shall die, and at his death his heir shall be of full age, and owe a relief, the heir shall have his inheritance on payment, of the ancient scale of relief. That is to say, the heir or heirs of an earl shall pay 100 for the entire earl's barony, the heir or heirs of a knight 100s, at most for the entire knight's fee, and any man that owes less shall pay less, in accordance with the ancient usage of fees. 3. But if the heir of such a person is under age and a ward when he comes of age, he shall have his inheritance without relief or fine. 4. The guardian of the land of an heir who is under age shall take from it only reasonable revenues, customary dues, and feudal services. He shall do this without destruction or damage to men or property, if we have given the guardianship of the land to a sheriff or to any person answerable to us for the revenues, and he commits destruction or damage, we will exact compensation from him, and the land shall be entrusted to two worthy and prudent men of the same fee, who shall be answerable to us for the revenues, or to the person to whom we have assigned them. If we have given or sold to anyone the guardianship of such land, and he causes destruction or damage, he shall lose the guardianship of it, and it shall be handed over to two worthy and prudent men of the same fee, who shall be similarly answerable to us. 5. For so long as a guardian has guardianship of such land, he shall maintain the houses, parks, fish preserves, ponds, mills, and everything else pertaining to it, from the revenues of the land itself. When the heir comes of age, he shall restore the whole land to him, stocked with plow teams and such implements of husbandry as the season demands and the revenues from the land can reasonably bear. 6. Heirs may be given in marriage, but not to someone of lower social standing. Before a marriage takes place, it shall be made known to the heir's next of kin. 7. At her husband's death, a widow may have her marriage portion and inheritance at once and without trouble. She shall pay nothing for her dower, marriage portion, or any inheritance that she and her husband held jointly on the day of his death. She may remain in her husband's house for 40 days after his death, and within this period her dower shall be assigned to her. 8. No widow shall be compelled to marry, so long as she wishes to remain without a husband. But she must give security that she will not marry without royal consent, if she holds her lands of the crown, or without the consent of whatever other lord she may hold them of. 9. Neither we nor our officials will seize any land or rent in payment of a debt, so long as the debtor has movable goods sufficient to discharge the debt. A debtor's sureties shall not be distrained upon so long as the debtor himself can discharge his debt. If, for lack of means, the debtor is unable to discharge his debt, his sureties shall be answerable for it. If they so desire, they may have the debtor's lands and rents until they have received satisfaction for the debt that they paid for him, unless the debtor can show that he has settled his obligations to them. 10. If anyone who has borrowed a sum of money from Jews dies before the debt has been repaid, his heir shall pay no interest on the debt for so long as he remains under age, irrespective of whom he holds his lands. If such a debt falls into the hands of the crown, it will take nothing except the principal sum specified in the bond. 11. If a man dies owing money to Jews, his wife may have her dower and pay nothing towards the debt from it. If he leaves children that are under age, their needs may also be provided for on a scale appropriate to the size of his holding of lands. The debt is to be paid out of the residue, reserving the service due to his feudal lords. Debts owed to persons other than Jews are to be dealt with similarly. 12. No scutage or aid may be levied in our kingdom without its general consent, unless it is for the ransom of our person to make our eldest son a knight and once to marry our eldest daughter. For these purposes only a reasonable aid may be levied. Aids from the City of London are to be treated similarly. 13. The City of London shall enjoy all its ancient liberties and free customs, both by land and by water. We also will and grant that all other cities, boroughs, towns, and ports shall enjoy all their liberties and free customs. 14. To obtain the general consent of the realm for the assessment of an aid, except in the three cases specified above or a scutage, we will cause the archbishops, bishops, abbots, earls, and greater barons to be summoned individually by letter. To those who hold lands directly of us, we will cause a general summons to be issued through the sheriffs and other officials to come together on a fixed day, of which at least 40 days' notice shall be given, and at a fixed place, in all letters of summons, the cause of the summons will be stated. When a summons has been issued, the business appointed for the day shall go forward in accordance with the resolution of those present, even if not all those who were summoned have appeared. 15. In future, we will allow no one to levy an aid from his free men, except to ransom his person, to make his eldest son a knight, and once to marry his eldest daughter. For these purposes, only a reasonable aid may be levied. 16. No man shall be forced to perform more service for a knight fee or other free holding of land than is due from it. 17. Ordinary lawsuits shall not follow the royal court around, but shall be held in a fixed place. 18. Inquests of novel disseisin, mort d'ancestor, and daring presentment shall be taken only in their proper county court. We ourselves, or in our absence abroad our chief justice, will send two justices to each county, four times a year, and these justices, with four knights of the county elected by the county itself, shall hold the assizes in the county court on the day and in the place where the court meets. 19. If any assizes cannot be taken on the day of the county court, as many knights and freeholders shall afterwards remain behind of those who have attended the court, as will suffice for the administration of justice, having regard to the volume of business to be done. 20. For a trivial offense, a free man shall be fined only in proportion to the degree of his offense, and for a serious offense correspondingly, but not so heavily as to deprive him of his livelihood. In the same way, a merchant shall be spared his merchandise, and a husbandman the implements of his husbandry, if they fall upon the mercy of a royal court. None of these fines shall be imposed, except by the assessment on oath of reputable men of the neighborhood. 21. Earls and barons shall be fined only by their equals, and in proportion to the gravity of their offense. 22. A fine imposed upon the lay property of a clerk in holy orders shall be assessed upon the same principles, without reference to the value of his ecclesiastical benefice. 23. No town or person shall be forced to build bridges over rivers except those with an ancient obligation to do so. 24. No sheriff, constable, coroners, or other royal officials are to hold lawsuits that should be held by the royal justices. 25. Every county, hundred, wapentake, and tithing shall remain at its ancient rent, without increase, except the royal domain manors. 26. If at the death of a man who holds a lay fee of the crown, a sheriff or royal official produces royal letters patent of summons for a debt due to the crown, it shall be lawful for them to seize and list movable goods found in the lay fee of the dead man to the value of the debt, as assessed by worthy men. Nothing shall be removed until the whole debt is paid, when the residue shall be given over to the executors to carry out the dead man's will. If no debt is due to the crown, all the movable goods shall be regarded as the property of the dead man, except the reasonable shares of his wife and children. 27. If a free man dies intestate, his movable goods are to be distributed by his next of kin and friends, under the supervision of the church. The rights of his debtors are to be preserved. 28. No constable or other royal official shall take corn or other movable goods from any man without immediate payment, unless the seller voluntarily offers postponement of this. 29. No constable may compel a knight to pay money for castle guard if the knight is willing to undertake the guard in person, or with reasonable excuse, to supply some other fit man to do it. A knight taken or sent on military service shall be excused from castle guard for the period of this service. 30. No sheriff, royal official, or other person shall take horses or carts for transport from any free man without his consent. 31. Neither we nor any royal official will take wood for our castle, or for any other purpose without the consent of the owner. 32. We will not keep the lands of people convicted of felony in our hand for longer than a year and a day, after which they shall be returned to the lords of the fees concerned. 33. All fish weirs shall be removed from the Thames, the Medway, and throughout the whole of England except on the sea coast. 34. The writ called precipe shall not in future be issued to anyone in respect of any holding of land if a free man could thereby be deprived of the right of trial in his own lord's court. 35. There shall be standard measures of wine, ale, and corn, the London quarter, throughout the kingdom. There shall also be a standard width of dyed cloth, russet, and haberject, namely 2 ells within the selvedges. Weights are to be standardized similarly. 36. In future nothing shall be paid or accepted for the issue of a writ of inquisition of life or limbs. It shall be given gratis and not refused. 37. If a man holds land of the crown by fee farm, sockage, or burgage, and also holds land of someone else for knight service, we will not have guardianship of his heir, nor of the land that belongs to the other person's fee by virtue of the fee farm, sockage, or burgage, unless the fee farm owes knight service. We will not have the guardianship of a man's heir or of land that he holds of someone else by reason of any small property that he may hold of the crown for a service of knives, arrows, or the like. 38. In future, no official shall place a man on trial upon his own unsupported statement without producing credible witnesses to the truth of it. 39. No free man shall be seized or imprisoned or stripped of his rights or possessions or outlawed or exiled or deprived of his standing in any other way, nor will we proceed with force against him or send others to do so, except by the lawful judgment of his equals or by the law of the land. 40. To no one will we sell, to no one deny or delay right or justice. 41. All merchants may enter or leave England unharmed and without fear, and may stay or travel within it by land or water for purposes of trade, free from all illegal exactions, in accordance with ancient and lawful customs. This, however, does not apply in time of war to merchants from a country that is at war with us. Any such merchants found in our country at the outbreak of war shall be detained without injury to their persons or property until we or our Chief Justice have discovered how our own merchants are being treated in the country at war with us. If our own merchants are safe, they shall be safe. 2.42. In future, it shall be lawful for any man to leave and return to our kingdom unharmed and without fear, by land or water, preserving his allegiance to us, except in time of war, for some short period, for the common benefit of the realm. People that have been imprisoned or outlawed in accordance with the law of the land, people from a country that is at war with us, and merchants who shall be dealt with as stated above are excepted from this provision. 43. If a man holds lands of any escheat, such as the honor of Wallingford, Nottingham, Boulogne, Lancaster, or of other escheats in our hand that are baronies at his death, his heir shall give us only the relief and service that he would have made to the baron had the barony been in the baron's hand. We will hold the escheat in the same manner as the baron held it. 44. People who live outside the forest need not in future appear before the royal justices of the forest in answer to general summonses, unless they are actually involved in proceedings or are sureties for someone who has been seized for a forest offense. 45. We will appoint as justices, constables, sheriffs, or other officials only men that know the law of the realm and are minded to keep it well. 46. All barons who have founded abbeys and have charters of English kings or ancient tenure as evidence of this may have guardianship of them when there is no abbot, as is their due. 47. All forests that have been created in our reign shall at once be disafforested. Riverbanks that have been enclosed in our reign shall be treated similarly. 48. All evil customs relating to forests and warrens, foresters, warreners, sheriffs and their servants, or riverbanks and their wardens, are at once to be investigated in every county by 12 sworn knights of the county, and within 40 days of their inquiry, the evil customs are to be abolished, completely and irrevocably. But we, or our Chief Justice, if we are not in England, are first to be informed. 49. We will at once return all hostages and charters delivered up to us by Englishmen as security for peace or for loyal service. Here were some strange characters, not completely removed. 50. We will remove completely from their offices the kinsmen of Gerard de Ath, Peter, Guy, and Andrew de Chanso, Guy de Sigogne, and in future they shall hold no offices in England. The people in question are Engelard de Sigon, Geoffrey de Martigny and his brothers, Philip Mark and his brothers, with Geoffrey his nephew and all their followers. As soon as peace is restored, we will remove from the kingdom all the foreign knights, bowmen, their attendants, and the mercenaries that have come to it to its harm with horses and arms, to any man whom we have deprived or dispossessed of lands, castles, liberties, or rights, without the lawful judgment of his equals, we will at once restore these. In cases of dispute, the matter shall be resolved by the judgment of the 25 barons referred to below in the clause for securing the peace. In cases, however, where a man was deprived or dispossessed of something without the lawful judgment of his equals by our father King Henry or our brother King Richard, and it remains in our hands or is held by others under our warranty, we shall have respite for the period commonly allowed to crusaders, unless a lawsuit had been begun or an inquiry had been made at our order before we took the cross as a crusader. On our return from the crusade, or if we abandon it, we will at once render justice in full. We shall have similar respite in rendering justice in connection with forests that are to be disafforested or to remain forests when these were first afforested by our father Henry or our brother Richard, with the guardianship of lands in another person's fee, when we have hitherto had this by virtue of a fee held of us for knight's service by a third party, and with abbeys founded in another person's fee, in which the lord of the fee claims to own a right. On our return from the crusade, or if we abandon it, we will at once do full justice to complaints about these matters. No one shall be arrested or imprisoned on the appeal of a woman for the death of any person except her husband. All fines that have been given to us unjustly and against the law of the land, and all fines that we have exacted unjustly, shall be entirely remitted, or the matter decided by a majority judgment of the 25 barons, referred to below in the clause for securing the peace together with Stephen, Archbishop of Canterbury, if he can be present, and such others as he wishes to bring with him. If the Archbishop cannot be present, proceedings shall continue without him, provided that if any of the 25 barons has been involved in a similar suit himself, his judgment shall be set aside and someone else chosen and sworn in his place as a substitute for the single occasion by the rest of the 25. If we have deprived or dispossessed any Welshmen of lands, liberties, or anything else in England or in Wales without the lawful judgment of their equals, these are at once to be returned to them. A dispute on this point shall be determined in the marches by the judgment of equals. English law shall apply to holdings of land in England, Welsh law to those in Wales, and the law of the marches to those in the marches. The Welsh shall treat us and ours in the same way. In cases where a Welshman was deprived or dispossessed of anything without the lawful judgment of his equals by our father King Henry or our brother King Richard, and it remains in our hands or is held by others under our warranty, we shall have respite for the period commonly allowed to crusaders, unless a lawsuit had been begun or an inquiry had been made at our order, before we took the cross as a crusader. But on our return from the crusade, or if we abandon it, we will at once do full justice according to the laws of Wales and the said regions. We will at once return the son of Llewellyn, all Welsh hostages, and the charters delivered to us as security for the peace. With regard to the return of the sisters and hostages of Alexander, King of Scotland, his liberties and his rights, we will treat him in the same way as our other barons of England, unless it appears from the charters that we hold from his father William, formerly King of Scotland, that he should be treated otherwise. This matter shall be resolved by the judgment of his equals in our court. All these customs and liberties that we have granted shall be observed in our kingdom insofar as concerns our own relations with our subjects. Let all men of our kingdom, whether clergy or laymen, observe them similarly in their relations with their own men. Asterisk strange characters may have ended here, since we have granted all these things for God, for the better ordering of our kingdom, and to allay the discord that has arisen between us and our barons. And since we desire that they shall be enjoyed in their entirety, with lasting strength, forever we give and grant to the barons the following security. The barons shall elect 25 of their number to keep, and cause to be observed with all their might, the peace and liberties granted and confirmed to them by this charter. If we, our chief justice, our officials, or any of our servants offend in any respect against any man, or transgress any of the articles of the peace or of this security, and the offense is made known to four of the said 25 barons, they shall come to us, or in our absence from the kingdom to the chief justice, to declare it and claim immediate redress. If we, or in our absence, abroad the chief justice, make no redress within 40 days, reckoning from the day on which the offense was declared to us or to him, the four barons shall refer the matter to the rest of the 25 barons, who may distrain upon and assail us in every way possible, with the support of the whole community of the land, by seizing our castles, lands, possessions, or anything else saving only our own person and those of the queen and our children, until they have secured such redress as they have determined upon. Having secured the redress, they may then resume their normal obedience to us. Any man who so desires may take an oath to obey the commands of the 25 barons for the achievement of these ends, and to join with them in assailing us to the utmost of his power. We give public and free permission to take this oath to any man who so desires, and at no time will we prohibit any man from taking it. Indeed, we will compel any of our subjects who are unwilling to take it to swear it at our command. If one of the 25 barons dies or leaves the country, or is prevented in any other way from discharging his duties, the rest of them shall choose another baron in his place, at their discretion, who shall be duly sworn in as they were. In the event of disagreement among the 25 barons on any matter referred to them for decision, the verdict of the majority present shall have the same validity as a unanimous verdict of the whole 25, whether these were all present, or some of those summoned were unwilling or unable to appear. The 25 barons shall swear to obey all the above articles faithfully, and shall cause them to be obeyed by others to the best of their power. We will not seek to procure from anyone, either by our own efforts or those of a third party, anything by which any part of these concessions or liberties might be revoked or diminished. Should such a thing be procured, it shall be null and void, and we will at no time make use of it, either ourselves or through a third party. We have remitted and pardoned fully to all men any ill will, hurt, or grudges that have arisen between us and our subjects, whether clergy or laymen, since the beginning of the dispute. We have in addition remitted fully, and for our own part have also pardoned to all clergy and laymen any offenses committed as a result of the said dispute between Easter 1215 AD and the restoration of peace. In addition, we have caused letters patent to be made for the barons, bearing witness to the security and to the concessions set out above, over the seals of Stephen Archbishop of Canterbury, Henry Archbishop of Dublin, the other bishops named above, and Master Pandulf. It is accordingly our wish and command that the English Church shall be free, and that men in our kingdom shall have and keep all these liberties, rights, and concessions, well and peaceably in their fullness and entirety for them, and their heirs, of us and our heirs, in all things and all places forever. Both we and the barons have sworn that all this shall be observed in good faith, and without deceit. Witness the above-mentioned people and many others, given by our hand in the meadow that is called Runnymede, between Windsor and Staines, on the 15th day of June in the 17th year of our reign. There were many missing spaces in this one, not sure I got them all. Magna Carta 1215. John, by the grace of God, King of England, Lord of Ireland, Duke of Normandy, and Aquitaine, and Count of Anjou, to the archbishops, bishops, abbots, earls, barons, justiciars, foresters, sheriffs, stewards, servants, and to all his bailiffs and liege subjects, greeting. Know that, having regard to God and for the salvation of our soul, and those of all our ancestors and heirs, and unto the honor of God and the advancement of Holy Church, and for the reform of our realm, by advice of our venerable fathers, Stephen Archbishop of Canterbury, Primate of all England and Cardinal of the Holy Roman Church, Henry Archbishop of Dublin, William of London, Peter of Winchester, Jocelyn of Bath and Glastonbury, Hugh of Lincoln, Walter of Worcester, William of Coventry, Benedict of Rochester, bishops of Master Pandulf, subdeacon and member of the household of our Lord the Pope, of Brother Imeric, Master of the Knights of the Temple in England, and of the illustrious men William Marshall, Earl of Pembroke, William Earl of Salisbury, William Earl of Warenne, William Earl of Arundel, Alan of Galloway, Constable of Scotland, Warren Fitzgerald, Peter Fitzherbert, Hubert de Bourgh, Seneschal of Poitou, Hugh de Neville, Matthew Fitzherbert, Thomas Bassett, Alan Bassett, Philip Daubigny, Robert of Rapisley, John Marshall, John Fitzhugh, and others are liegemen. 1. In the first place we have granted to God, and by this our present charter, confirmed for us and our heirs forever that the English Church shall be free, and shall have her rights entire and her liberties inviolate, and we will that it be thus observed, which is apparent from this that the freedom of elections, which is reckoned most important and very essential to the English Church, we, of our pure and unconstrained will, did grant, and did by our charter confirm, and did obtain the ratification of the same from our Lord, Pope Innocent III, before the quarrel arose between us and our barons, and this we will observe, and our will is that it be observed in good faith by our heirs forever. We have also granted to all freemen of our kingdom, for us and our heirs forever, all the underwritten liberties to be had and held by them and their heirs, of us and our heirs forever too. If any of our earls or barons, or others holding of us in chief by military service shall have died, and at the time of his death his heir shall be of full age and owe relief, he shall have his inheritance on payment of the ancient relief, namely the heir or heirs of an earl, £100 for a whole earl's barony, the heir or heirs of a baron, £100 for a whole barony, the heir or heirs of a knight, 100 shillings at most for a whole knight's fee, and whoever owes less let him give less, according to the ancient custom officers. 3. If, however, the heir of any of the aforesaid has been under age and in wardship, let him have his inheritance without relief and without fine when he comes of age. 4. The guardian of the land of an heir who is thus under age shall take from the land of the heir nothing but reasonably produce, reasonable customs, and reasonable services, and that without destruction or waste of men or goods. And if we have committed the wardship of the lands of any such minor to the sheriff, or to any other who is responsible to us for its issues, and he has made destruction or waste of what he holds in wardship, we will take of him amends, and the land shall be committed to 2 lawful and discreet men of that fee, who shall be responsible for the issues to us or to him to whom we shall assign them. And if we have given or sold the wardship of any such land to anyone and he has therein made destruction or waste, he shall lose that wardship, and it shall be transferred to 2 lawful and discreet men of that fief, who shall be responsible to us in like manner as aforesaid. 5. The guardian, moreover, so long as he has the wardship of the land, shall keep up the houses, parks, fishponds, stanks, mills, and other things, pertaining to the land, out of the issues of the same land, and he shall restore to the heir, when he has come to full age, all his land, stocked with plows and wainage, according as the season of husbandry shall require and the issues of the land can reasonably bear. 6. Heirs shall be married without disparagement, yet so that before the marriage takes place the nearest in blood to that heir shall have notice. 7. A widow, after the death of her husband, shall forthwith and without difficulty have her marriage portion and inheritance, nor shall she give anything for her dower, or for her marriage portion, or for the inheritance, which her husband and she held on the day of the death of that husband, and she may remain in the house of her husband for 40 days after his death, within which time her dower shall be assigned to her. 8. No widow shall be compelled to marry, so long as she prefers to live without a husband, provided always that she gives security not to marry without our consent, if she holds of us, or without the consent of the lord of whom she holds, if she holds of another. 9. Neither we nor our bailiffs shall seize any land or rent for any debt, so long as the chattels of the debtor are sufficient to repay the debt. Nor shall the sureties of the debtor be distrained so long as the principal debtor is able to satisfy the debt. And if the principal debtor shall fail to pay the debt, having nothing wherewith to pay it, then the sureties shall answer for the debt, and let them have the lands and rents of the debtor, if they desire them, until they are indemnified for the debt which they have paid for him, unless the principal debtor can show proof that he is discharged thereof as against the said sureties. 10. If one who has borrowed from the Jews any sum, great or small, die before that loan can be repaid, the debt shall not bear interest while the heir is under age, of whomsoever he may hold. And if the debt fall into our hands, we will not take anything except the principal sum contained in the bond. 11. And if anyone die indebted to the Jews, his wife shall have her dower and pay nothing of that debt. And if any children of the deceased are left underage, necessaries shall be provided for them in keeping with the holding of the deceased, and out of the residue the debt shall be paid, reserving, however, service due to feudal lords, in like manner let it be done touching debts due to others than Jews. 12. No scutage nor aid shall be imposed on our kingdom, unless by common council of our kingdom, except for ransoming our person, for making our eldest son a knight, and for once marrying our eldest daughter, and for these there shall not be levied more than a reasonable aid. In like manner it shall be done concerning aids from the city of London. 13. And the city of London shall have all its ancient liberties and free customs, as well by land as by water. Furthermore, we decree and grant that all other cities, boroughs, towns, and ports shall have all their liberties and free customs. 14. And for obtaining the common council of the kingdom and at the assessing of an aid, except in the three cases aforesaid, or of a scutage, we will cause to be summoned the archbishops, bishops, abbots, earls, and greater barons, severally by our letters, and we will moreover cause to be summoned generally, through our sheriffs and bailiffs, all others who hold of us in chief, for a fixed date, namely, after the expiry of at least 40 days, and at a fixed place, and in all letters of such summons we will specify the reason of the summons. And when the summons has thus been made, the business shall proceed on the day appointed, according to the counsel of such as are present, although not all who were summoned have come. 15. We will not for the future grant to any one license to take an aid from his own free tenants, except to ransom his body, to make his eldest son a knight, and once to marry his eldest daughter, and on each of these occasions there shall be levied only a reasonable aid. 16. No one shall be distrained for performance of greater service for a knight's fee, or for any other free tenement, than is due therefrom. 17. Common pleas shall not follow our court, but shall be held in some fixed place. 18. Inquests of novel disseisin, of mort d'ancestor, and of daring presentment shall not be held elsewhere than in their own county courts, and that in manner following, we, or if we should be out of the realm, our chief justiciar will send 2 justiciars through every county 4 times a year, who shall, along with 4 knights of the county chosen by the county, hold the set assize in the county court, on the day and in the place of meeting of that court. 19. And if any of the set assizes cannot be taken on the day of the county court, let there remain of the knights and freeholders who were present at the county court on that day as many as may be required for the efficient making of judgments, according as the business be more or less. 20. A freeman shall not be immersed for a slight offense, except in accordance with the degree of the offense, and for a grave offense he shall be immersed in accordance with the gravity of the offense, yet saving always his contentment, and a merchant in the same way saving his merchandise, and a villain shall be immersed in the same way, saving his wainage, if they have fallen into our mercy, and none of the aforesaid immersements shall be impsed except by the oath of honest men of the neighborhood. 21. Earls and barons shall not be immersed except through their peers and only in accordance with the degree of the offense. 22. A clerk shall not be immersed in respect of his lay holding except after the manner of the others aforesaid. Further, he shall not be immersed in accordance with the extent of his ecclesiastical benefice. 23. No village or individual shall be compelled to make bridges at riverbanks, except those who from of old were legally bound to do so. 24. No sheriff, constable, coroners, or others of our bailiffs shall hold pleas of our crown. 25. All counties, hundreds, wapentakes, and trithings, except our domain, manors shall remain at old rents and without any additional payment. *** here may be an error. 26. If any one holding of us a lay fief shall die, and our sheriff or bailiff shall exhibit our letters patent of summons for a debt which the deceased owed to us, it shall be lawful for our sheriff or bailiff to attach and catalogue chattels of the deceased found upon the lay fief to the value of that debt, at the sight of lawworthy men, provided always that nothing whatever be then be removed until the debt which is evident shall be fully paid to us, and the residue shall be left to the executors to fulfill the will of the deceased. And if there be nothing due from him to us, all the chattels shall go to the deceased, saving to his wife and children their reasonable shares. 27. If any freeman shall die intestate, his chattels shall be distributed by the hands of his nearest kinsfolk and friends under supervision of the church, saving to everyone the debts which the deceased owed to him. 28. No constable or other bailiff of ours shall take corn or other provisions from anyone without immediately tendering money therefor, unless he can have postponement thereof by permission of the seller. 29. No constable shall compel any knight to give money in lieu of castle guard, when he is willing to perform it in his own person, or, if he cannot do it from any reasonable cause, then by another responsible man. Further, if we have led or sent him upon military service, he shall be relieved from guard in proportion to the time during which he has been on service because of us. 30. No sheriff or bailiff of ours or other person shall take the horses or carts of any freeman for transport duty against the will of the said freeman. 31. Neither we nor our bailiffs shall take for our castles or for any other work of ours wood which is not ours against the will of the owner of that wood. 32. We will not retain beyond 1 year and 1 day the lands of those who have been convicted of felony, and the lands shall thereafter be handed over to the lords of the fiefs. 33. All kittles for the future shall be removed altogether from Thames and Medway and throughout all England, except upon the seashore. 34. The writ which is called precipi shall not for the future be issued to any one regarding any tenement whereby a freeman may lose his court. 35. Let there be one measure of wine throughout our whole realm, and one measure of ale, and one measure of corn, to wit, the London quarter, and one width of cloth, whether dyed, or russet, or halberget, to wit, 2 ells within the selvages, of weights also. Let it be as of measures. 36. Nothing in future shall be given or taken for a writ of inquisition of life, or limbs, but freely it shall be granted and never denied. 37. If anyone holds of us by fee farm, by sockage, or by burgage, and holds also land of another lord by knight service, we will not, by reason of that fee farm, sockage, or burgage, have the wardship of the heir or of such land of his as is of the fief of that other, nor shall we have wardship of that fee farm, sockage, or burgage, unless such fee farm owes knight service. We will not, by reason of any small sergeanty which anyone may hold of us by the service of rendering to us knives, arrows, or the like, have wardship of his heir of the land which he holds of another lord by knight service. 38. No bailiff for the future shall, upon his own unsupported complaint, put anyone to his law without credible witnesses brought for this purpose. 39. No freeman shall be taken or imprisoned or disseised or exiled or in any way destroyed, nor will we go upon him nor send upon him, except by the lawful judgment of his peers or by the law of the land. 40. To no one will we sell, to no one will we refuse or delay, right or justice. 41. All merchants shall have safe and secure exit from England and entry to England, with the right to tarry there and to move about as well by land as by water, for buying and selling by the ancient and right customs, quit from all evil tolls, except in time of war, such merchants as are of the land at war with us. And if such are found in our land at the beginning of the war, they shall be detained, without injury to their bodies or goods, until information be received by us or by our chief justiciar, how the merchants of our land found in the land at war with us are treated, and if our men are safe there, the others shall be safe in our land. 42. It shall be lawful in future for anyone, excepting always those imprisoned, or outlawed in accordance with the law of the kingdom, and natives of any country at war with us, and merchants, who shall be treated as is above, provided to leave our kingdom and to return, safe and secure by land and water, except for a short period in time of war, on grounds of public policy, reserving always the allegiance due to us. 43. If anyone holding of some escheat, such as the honor of Wallingford, Nottingham, Boulogne, Lancaster, or of other escheats which are in our hands, and our baronies shall die, his heir shall give no other relief and perform no other service to us than he would have done to the baron if that barony had been in the baron's hand, and we shall hold it in the same manner in which the baron held it. 44. Men who dwell without the forest need not henceforth come before our justiciars of the forest upon a general summons, except those who are impleaded or who have become sureties for any person or persons attached for forest offenses. 45. We will appoint as justices, constables, sheriffs, or bailiffs only such as know the law of the realm and mean to observe it well. 46. All barons who have founded abbeys, concerning which they hold charters, from the kings of England or of which they have long continued possession, shall have the wardship of them when vacant, as they ought to have. 47. All forests that have been made such in our time shall forthwith be disafforested, and a similar course shall be followed with regard to riverbanks that have been placed in defense by us in our time. 48. All evil customs connected with forests and warrens, foresters and warreners, sheriffs and their officers, riverbanks and their wardens, shall immediately be inquired into in each county by 12 sworn knights of the same county chosen by the honest men of the same county, and shall, within 40 days of the said inquest, be utterly abolished so as never to be restored, provided always that we previously have intimation thereof or our justiciar, if we should not be in England. 49. We will immediately restore all hostages and charters delivered to us by Englishmen as sureties of the peace or of faithful service. 50. We will entirely remove from their bailiwicks the relations of Gerard, Athy, so that in future they shall have no bailiwick in England, namely Engelard of Sigogny, Peter, Guy, and Andrew of Chanso, Guy of Sigogny, Geoffrey of Martigny with his brothers, Philip Mark with his brothers and his nephew Geoffrey, and the whole brood of the same. 51. As soon as peace is restored, we will banish from the kingdom all foreign-born knights, crossbowmen, sergeants, and mercenary soldiers who have come with horses and arms to the kingdom's hurt. 52. If anyone has been dispossessed or removed by us without the legal judgment of his peers from his lands, castles, franchises, or from his right, we will immediately restore them to him. And if a dispute arise over this, then let it be decided by the 25 barons of whom mention is made below, in the clause for securing the peace. Moreover, for all those possessions from which anyone has, without the lawful judgment of his peers, been disseised or removed by our father, King Henry, or by our brother, King Richard, and which we retain in our hand, or which are possessed by others to whom we are bound, to warrant them, we shall have respite until the usual term of crusaders, excepting those things about which a plea has been raised or an inquest made by our order before our taking of the cross. But as soon as we're turned from our expedition, or if perchance we desist from the expedition, we will immediately grant full justice therein. 53. We shall have, moreover, the same respite and in the same manner in rendering justice concerning the disafforestation or retention of those forests which Henry our father and Richard our brother afforested, and concerning wardship of lands which are of the fief of another, namely, such wardships as we have hitherto had by reason of a fief which anyone held of us by knight's service, and concerning abbeys founded on other fiefs than our own, in which the lord of the fief claims to have right, and when we have returned, or if we desist from our expedition, we will immediately grant full justice to all who complain of such things. 54. No one shall be arrested or imprisoned upon the appeal of a woman for the death of any other than her husband. 55. All fines made with us unjustly and against the law of the land, and all amercements imposed unjustly and against the law of the land, shall be entirely remitted, or else it shall be done concerning them according to the decision of the 25 barons of whom mention is made below in the clause for securing the peace, or according to the judgment of the majority of the same, along with the aforesaid Stephen, Archbishop of Canterbury, if he can be present, and such others as he may wish to bring with him for this purpose, and, if he cannot be present, the business shall nevertheless proceed without him, provided always that if any one or more of the aforesaid 25 barons are in a similar suit, they shall be removed as far as concerns this particular judgment, others being substituted in their places after having been selected by the rest of the same 25 for this purpose only, and after having been sworn, 56. If we have disseised or removed Welshmen from lands or liberties or other things, without the legal judgment of their peers in England or in Wales, they shall be immediately restored to them, and if a dispute arise over this, then let it be decided in the marches by the judgment of their peers, for tenements in England according to the law of England, for tenements in Wales according to the law of Wales, and for tenements in the marches according to the law of the marches. Welshmen shall do the same to us and ours. 57. Further, for all those possessions from which any Welshman has, without the lawful judgment of his peers, been disseised or removed by King Henry our father or King Richard our brother, and which we retain in our hand, or which are possessed by others to whom we are bound to warrant them, we shall have respite until the usual term of crusaders, excepting those things about which a plea has been raised or an inquest made by our order before we took the cross, but as soon as we return, or if perchance we desist from our expedition, we will immediately grant full justice in accordance with the laws of the Welsh, and in relation to the foresaid regions. 58. We will immediately give up the son of Llewellyn and all the hostages of Wales, and the charters delivered to us as security for the peace. 59. We will do toward Alexander, King of Scots, concerning the return of his sisters and his hostages, and concerning his franchises and his right, in the same manner as we shall do toward our other barons of England, unless it ought to be otherwise according to the charters which we hold from William his father, formerly King of Scots, and this shall be according to the judgment of his peers in our court. 60. Moreover, all these aforesaid customs and liberties, the observance of which we have granted in our kingdom as far as pertains to us toward our men, shall be observed by all of our kingdom, as well clergy as laymen, as far as pertains to them toward their men. 61. Since, moreover, for God and the amendment of our kingdom and for the better allaying of the quarrel that has arisen between us and our barons, we have granted all these concessions, desirous that they should enjoy them in complete and firm endurance forever, we give and grant to them the underwritten security, namely, that the barons choose 25 barons of the kingdom, whomsoever they will, who shall be bound with all their might, to observe and hold, and cause to be observed, the peace and liberties we have granted and confirmed to them by this our present charter, so that if we, or our justiciar, or our bailiffs, or any one of our officers, shall in anything be at fault toward anyone, or shall have broken any one of the articles of the peace or of this security, and the offense be notified to four barons of the foresaid 25, the said four barons shall repair to us, or our justiciar, if we are out of the realm, and, laying the transgression before us, petition to have that transgression redressed without delay. And if we shall not have corrected the transgression, or, in the event of our being out of the realm, if our justiciar shall not have corrected it within 40 days, reckoning from the time it has been intimated to us, or to our justiciar, if we should be out of the realm, the four barons aforesaid shall refer that matter to the rest of the 25 barons, and those 25 barons shall, together with the community of the whole land, distrain and distress us in all possible ways, namely, by seizing our castles, lands, possessions, and in any other way they can, until redress has been obtained as they deem fit, saving harmless our own person and the persons of our queen and children, and, when redress has been obtained, they shall resume their old relations toward us. And let whoever in the country desires it swear to obey the orders of the said 25 barons for the execution of all the aforesaid matters, and, along with them, to molest us to the utmost of his power, and we publicly and freely grant leave to everyone who wishes to swear, and we shall never forbid anyone to swear. All those, moreover, in the land who of themselves and of their own accord are unwilling to swear to the 25 to help them in constraining and molesting us, we shall by our command compel the same to swear to the effect aforesaid. And if any one of the 25 barons shall have died or departed from the land, or be incapacitated in any other manner, which would prevent the foresaid provisions being carried out, those of the said 25 barons who are left shall choose another in his place, according to their own judgment, and he shall be sworn in the same way as the others. Further, in all matters, the execution of which is entrusted to these 25 barons, if perchance these 25 are present, that which the majority of those present ordain or command shall be held as fixed and established, exactly as if the whole 25 had concurred in this, and the said 25 shall swear that they will faithfully observe all that is aforesaid, and cause it to be observed with all their might. And we shall procure nothing from anyone directly or indirectly, whereby any part of these concessions and liberties might be revoked or diminished, and if any such thing has been procured, let it be void and null, and we shall never use it, personally or by another. 62. And all the ill will, hatreds, and bitterness that have arisen between us, and our men, clergy, and lay, from the date of the quarrel, we have completely remitted and pardoned every one. Moreover, all trespasses occasioned by the said quarrel, from Easter in the 16th year of our reign till the restoration of peace, we have fully remitted to all, both clergy and laymen, and completely forgiven as far as pertains to us. And on this head we have caused to be made for them letters testimonial patent of the Lord Stephen, Archbishop of Canterbury, of the Lord Henry, Archbishop of Dublin, of the bishops aforesaid, and of Master Pandulf, as touching this security and the concessions aforesaid. 63. Wherefore it is our will, and we firmly enjoin, that the English Church be free, and that the men in our kingdom have and hold all the aforesaid liberties, rights, and concessions, well and peaceably, freely and quietly, fully and wholly, for themselves and their heirs, of us and our heirs, in all respects and in all places for ever, as is aforesaid. An oath, moreover, has been taken, as well on our part as on the part of the barons, that all these conditions aforesaid shall be kept in good faith and without evil intent. Given under our hand, the above named and many others being witnesses, in the meadow which is called Runnymede, between Windsor and Staines, on the 15th day of June, in the 17th year of our reign. The text of the MAGNA CARTA. The Magna Carta, the Great Charter, Preamble, John, by the grace of God, King of England, Lord of Ireland, Duke of Normandy and Aquitaine, and Count of Anjou, to the Archbishop, Bishops, Abbots, Earls, Barons, Justiciaries, Foresters, Sheriffs, Stewards, Servants, and to all his bailiffs and liege subjects, greetings. Know that, having regard to God and for the salvation of our soul, and those of all our ancestors and heirs, and unto the honor of God and the advancement of his holy church, and for the rectifying of our realm, we have granted, as underwritten by advice of our venerable fathers, Stephen, Archbishop of Canterbury, Primate of all England and Cardinal of the Holy Roman Church, Henry, Archbishop of Dublin, William of London, Peter of Winchester, Jocelyn of Bath and Glastonbury, Hugh of Lincoln, Walter of Worcester, William of Coventry, Benedict of Rochester, Bishops of Master Pandulf, subdeacon and member of the household of our Lord the Pope, of Brother Merrick, Master of the Knights of the Temple in England, and of the illustrious men William Marshall, Earl of Pembroke, William, Earl of Salisbury, William, Earl of Warenne, William, Earl of Arundel, Alan of Galloway, Constable of Scotland, Warren Fitzgerald, Peter Fitzherbert, Hubert de Burgh, Seneschal of Poitou, Hugh de Neville, Matthew Fitzherbert, Thomas Bassett, Alan Bassett, Philip Daubigny, Robert of Ropesley, John Marshall, John Fitzhugh, and others are liegemen. 1. In the first place we have granted to God, and by this our present charter, confirmed for us and our heirs forever, that the English Church shall be free, and shall have her rights entire and her liberties inviolate, and we will that it be thus observed, which is apparent from this that the freedom of elections, which is reckoned most important and very essential to the English Church, we, of our pure and unconstrained will, did grant, and did by our charter confirm, and did obtain the ratification of the same from our Lord Pope Innocent III, before the quarrel arose between us and our barons, and this we will observe, and our will is that it be observed in good faith by our heirs forever. We have also granted to all freemen of our kingdom, for us and our heirs forever all, the underwritten liberties to be had and held by them and their heirs of us, and our heirs forever, too. If any of our earls or barons, or others holding of us in chief by military service shall have died, and at the time of his death his heir shall be full of age and o relief, he shall have his inheritance by the old relief, to wit, the heir or heirs of an earl for the whole baronetcy of an earl, by L100, the heir or heirs of a baron, L100 for a whole barony, the heir or heirs of a knight, 100s at most, and whoever owes less let him give less. according to the ancient custom of fees. 3. If, however, the heir of any one of the aforesaid has been under age and in wardship, let him have his inheritance without relief and without fine when he comes of age. 4. The guardian of the land of an heir who is thus under age shall take from the land of the heir nothing but reasonable produce, reasonable customs, and reasonable services, and that without destruction or waste of men or goods. And if we have committed the wardship of the lands of any such minor to the sheriff, or to any other who is responsible to us for its issues, and he has made destruction or waster of what he holds in wardship, we will take of him amends, and the land shall be committed to two lawful and discreet men of that fee, who shall be responsible for the issues to us or to him to whom we shall assign them. And if we have given or sold the wardship of any such land to anyone and he has therein made destruction or waste, he shall lose that wardship, and it shall be transferred to two lawful and discreet men of that fief, who shall be responsible to us in like manner as aforesaid. 5. The guardian, moreover, so long as he has the wardship of the land, shall keep up the houses, parks, fishponds, stanks, mills, and other things pertaining to the land out of the issues of the same land, and he shall restore to the heir, when he has come to full age, all his land, stocked with plows and wainage, according as the season of husbandry shall require, and the issues of the land can reasonable bear. 6. Heirs shall be married without disparagement, yet so that before the marriage takes place the nearest in blood to that heir shall have notice. 7. A widow, after the death of her husband, shall forthwith and without difficulty have her marriage portion and inheritance, nor shall she give anything for her dower, or for her marriage portion, or for the inheritance which her husband and she held on the day of the death of that husband, and she may remain in the house of her husband for 40 days after his death, within which time her dower shall be assigned to her. 8. No widow shall be compelled to marry, so long as she prefers to live without a husband, provided always that she gives security not to marry without our consent, if she holds of us, or without the consent of the lord of whom she holds, if she holds of another. 9. Neither we nor our bailiffs will seize any land or rent for any debt, as long as the chattels of the debtor are sufficient to repay the debt, nor shall the sureties of the debtor be distrained so long as the principal debtor is able to satisfy the debt. And if the principal debtor shall fail to pay the debt, having nothing wherewith to pay it, then the sureties shall answer for the debt, and let them have the lands and rents of the debtor, if they desire them, until they are indemnified for the debt which they have paid for him, unless the principal debtor can show proof that he is discharged thereof as against the said sureties. 10. If one who has borrowed from the Jews any sum, great or small, die before that loan be repaid, the debt shall not bear interest while the heir is under age of whomsoever he may hold. And if the debt fall into our hands, we will not take anything except the principal sum contained in the bond. 11. And if anyone die indebted to the Jews, his wife shall have her dower and pay nothing of that debt. And if any children of the deceased are left under age, necessaries shall be provided for them in keeping with the holding of the deceased. And out of the residue the debt shall be paid, reserving, however, service due to feudal lords. In like manner let it be done touching debts due to others than Jews. 12. No scutage, not aid, shall be imposed on our kingdom, unless by common council of our kingdom, except for ransoming our person, for making our eldest son a knight, and for once marrying our eldest daughter, and for these there shall not be levied more than a reasonable aid. In like manner it shall be done concerning aids from the city of London. 13. And the city of London shall have all its ancient liberties and free customs, as well by land as by water. Furthermore, we decree and grant that all other cities, boroughs, towns, and ports shall have all their liberties and free customs. 14. And for obtaining the common council of the kingdom and at the assessing of an aid, except in the three cases aforesaid, or of a scutage, we will cause to be summoned the archbishops, bishops, abbots, earls, and greater barons, severally by our letters, and we will move of a cause to be summoned generally through our sheriffs and bailiffs and others who hold of us in chief for a fixed date, namely, after the expiry of at least 40 days and at a fixed place, and in all letters of such summons we will specify the reason of the summons, and when the summons has thus been made, the business shall proceed on the day appointed, according to the counsel of such as are present, although not all who were summoned have come. 15. We will not for the future grant to anyone license to take an aid from his own free tenants, except to ransom his person, to make his eldest son a knight, and once to marry his eldest daughter, and on each of these occasions there shall be levied only a reasonable aid. 16. No one shall be distrained for performance of greater service for a knight's fee or for any other free tenement than is due therefrom. 17. Common pleas shall not follow our court, but shall be held in some fixed place. 18. Inquests of novel disseisin, of mort d'ancestor, and of daring presentment shall not be held elsewhere than in their own county courts, and that in manner following, we, or, if we should be out of the realm, our chief justiciar, will send two justiciaries through every county 4 times a year, who shall alone with 4 knights of the county chosen by the county, hold the set assizes in the county court, on the day and in the place of meeting of that court. 19. And if any of the said assizes cannot be taken on the day of the county court, let there remain of the knights and freeholders who were present at the county court on that day as many as may be required for the efficient making of judgments, according as the business be more or less. 20. A freeman shall not be immersed for a slight offense, except in accordance with the degree of the offense, and for a grave offense he shall be immersed in accordance with the gravity of the offense, yet saving always his contentment, and a merchant in the same way saving his merchandise, and a villein shall be immersed in the same way, saving his wainage if they have fallen into our mercy, and none of the aforesaid immersements shall be imposed except by the oath of honest men of the neighborhood. 21. Earls and barons shall not be immersed except through their peers, and only in accordance with the degree of the offense. 22. A clerk shall not be immersed in respect of his lay holding except after the manner of the others aforesaid. Further, he shall not be immersed in accordance with the extent of his ecclesiastical benefice. 23. No village or individual shall be compelled to make bridges at river banks, except those who from of old were legally bound to do so. 24. No sheriff, constable, coroners, or others of our bailiffs shall hold pleas of our crown. 25. All counties, hundred, wapentakes, and trithings, except our domain manors, shall remain at the old rents and without any additional payment. 26. If anyone holding of us a lay fief shall die, and our sheriff or bailiff shall exhibit our letters patent of summons for a debt which the deceased owed us, it shall be lawful for our sheriff or bailiff to attach and enroll the chattels of the deceased found upon the lay fief to the value of that debt, at the sight of law-worthy men, provided always that nothing whatever be thence removed until the debt which is evident shall be fully paid to us, and the residue shall be left to the executors to fulfill the will of the deceased. And if there be nothing due from him to us, all the chattels shall go to the deceased, saving to his wife and children their reasonable shares. 27. If any freeman shall die intestate, his chattels shall be distributed by the hands of his nearest kinsfolk and friends, under supervision of the church, saving to everyone the debts which the deceased owed to him. 28. No constable or other bailiff of ours shall take corn or other provisions from anyone without immediately tendering money therefor, unless he can have postponement thereof by permission of the seller. 29. No constable shall compel any knight to give money in lieu of castle guard when he is willing to perform it in his own person, or if he himself cannot do it from any reasonable cause, then by another responsible man. Further, if we have led or sent him upon military service, he shall be relieved from guard in proportion to the time during which he has been on service because of us. 30. No sheriff or bailiff of ours or other person shall take the horses or carts of any freeman for transport duty against the will of the said freeman. 31. Neither we nor our bailiffs shall take for our castles or for any other work of ours wood which is not ours against the will of the owner of that wood. 32. We will not retain beyond 1 year and 1 day the lands those who have been convicted of felony, and the lands shall thereafter be handed over to the lords of the fiefs. 33. All kydels for the future shall be removed altogether from Thames and Medway and throughout all England, except upon the seashore. 34. The writ which is called precipi shall not for the future be issued to anyone regarding any tenement whereby a freeman may lose his court. 35. Let there be 1 measure of wine throughout our whole realm, and 1 measure of ale, and 1 measure of corn, to wit, the London quarter, and 1 width of cloth, whether dyed or russet or halberget, to wit, 2 ells within the selvages of weights. Also let it be as of measures. 36. Nothing in future shall be given or taken for a writ of inquisition of life or limbs, but freely it shall be granted and never denied. 37. If anyone holds of us by fee farm, either by socage or by burage or of any other land by knight service, we will not, by reason of that fee farm, socage, or burgage, have the wardship of the air or of such land of his as, if of the fief of that other, nor shall we have wardship of that fee farm. Sockage or burgage, unless such fee farm owes knight service. We will, not by reason of any small surgency which anyone may hold of us by the service, of rendering to us knives, arrows, or the like, have wardship of his heir or of the land which he holds of another lord by knight service. 38. No bailiff for the future shall, upon his own unsupported complaint, put anyone to his law without credible witnesses brought for this purposes. 39. No freeman shall be taken or imprisoned or disseised or exiled or in any way destroyed, nor will we go upon him nor send upon him, except by the lawful judgment of his peers or by the law of the land. 40. To no one will we sell, to no one will we refuse or delay, right or justice. 41. All merchants shall have safe and secure exit from England, and entry to England, with the right to tarry there, and to move about as well by land as by water for buying and selling by the ancient and right customs, quit from all evil tolls, except in time of war, such merchants as are of the land at war with us. And if such are found in our land at the beginning of the war, they shall be detained without injury to their bodies or goods until information be received by us or by our chief justiciar how the merchants of our land found in the land at war with us are treated. And if our men are safe there, the others shall be safe in our land. 42. It shall be lawful in future for anyone, excepting always those imprisoned or outlawed in accordance with the law of the kingdom and natives of any country at war with us and merchants who shall be treated as if above provided, to leave our kingdom and to return safe and secure by land and water, except for a short period in time of war, on grounds of public policy, reserving always the allegiance due to us. 43. If anyone holding of some escheat, such as the honor of Wallingford, Nottingham, Boulogne, Lancaster, or of other escheats which are in our hands, and our baronies shall die, his heir shall give no other relief and perform no other service to us than he would have done to the baron if that barony had been in the baron's hand, and we shall hold it in the same manner in which the baron held it. 44. Men who dwell without the forest need not henceforth come before our justiciaries of the forest upon a general summons, unless they are in plea or sureties of one or more who are attached for the forest. 45. We will appoint as justices, constables, sheriffs, or bailiffs only such as know the law of the realm and mean to observe it well. 46. All barons who have founded abbeys, concerning which they hold charters, from the kings of England or of which they have long continued possession, shall have the wardship of them, when vacant, as they ought to have. 47. All forests that have been made such in our time shall forthwith be disafforested, and a similar course shall be followed with regard to river banks that have been placed in defense by us in our time. 48. All evil customs connected with forests and warrens, foresters and warreners, sheriffs and their officers, river banks and their wardens shall immediately be inquired into in each county by 12 sworn knights of the same county chosen by the honest men of the same county, and shall, within 40 days of the said inquest, be utterly abolished so as never to be restored, provided always that we previously have intimation thereof or our justiciar, if we should not be in England. 49. We will immediately restore all hostages and charters delivered to us by Englishmen as sureties of the peace of faithful service. 50. We will entirely remove from their bailiwicks the relations of Gerard of Athy, so that in future they shall have no bailiwick in England, namely Engelard of Sigogny, Peter, Guy, and Andrew of Chanso, Guy of Sigogny, Geoffrey of Martigny with his brothers, Philip Mark with his brothers and his nephew Geoffrey, and the whole brood of the same. 51. As soon as peace is restored, we will banish from the kingdom all foreign born knights, crossbowmen, sergeants, and mercenary soldiers who have come with horses and arms to the kingdom's hurt. 52. If anyone has been dispossessed or removed by us without the legal judgment of his peers from his lands, castles, franchises, or from his right, we will immediately restore them to him. And if a dispute arise over this, then let it be decided by the 25 barons of whom mention is made below, in the clause for securing the peace. Moreover, for all those possessions from which anyone has, without the lawful judgment of his peers, been disseised or removed by our father, King Henry, or by our brother, King Richard, and which we retain in our hand, or which is possessed by others, to whom we are bound to warrant them, we shall have respite until the usual term of crusaders, excepting those things about which a plea has been raised or an inquest made by our order before our taking of the cross, but as soon as we return from the expedition, we will immediately grant full justice therein. 53. We shall have, moreover, the same respite, and in the same manner in rendering justice concerning the disafforestation or retention of those forests, which Henry our father and Richard our brother afforested, and concerning the wardship of lands which are of the fief of another, namely, such wardships as we have hitherto had by reason of a fief which anyone held of us by, knight's service, and concerning abbeys founded on other fiefs than our own, in which the lord of the fee claims to have right, and when we have returned, or if we desist from our expedition, we will immediately grant full justice to all who complain of such things. 54. No one shall be arrested or imprisoned upon the appeal of a woman for the death of any other than her husband. 55. All fines made with us unjustly and against the law of the land, and all amercements imposed unjustly and against the law of the land, shall be entirely remitted, or else it shall be done concerning them according to the decision of the 25 barons whom mention is made below in the clause for securing the peas, or according to the judgment of the majority of the same, along with the aforesaid Stephen, Archbishop of Canterbury, if he can be present, and such others as he may wish to bring with him for this purpose, and, if he cannot be present, the business shall nevertheless proceed without him, provided always that if any one or more of the aforesaid 25 barons are in a similar suit, they shall be removed as far as concerns this particular judgment, others being substituted in their places after having been selected by the rest of the same 25 for this purpose only, and after having been sworn. 56. If we have desized or removed Welshmen from lands or liberties or other things, without the legal judgment of their peers in England or in Wales, they shall be immediately restored to them, and if a dispute arise over this, then let it be decided in the marches by the judgment of their peers, for the tenements in England according to the law of England, for tenements in Wales according to the law of Wales, and for tenements in the marches according to the law of the marches. Welshmen shall do the same to us and ours. 57. Further, for all those possessions from which any Welshman has, without the lawful judgment of his peers, been desized or removed by King Henry our father or King Richard our brother, and which we retain in our hand, or which are possessed by others, and which we ought to warrant, we will have respite until the usual term of crusaders, excepting those things about which a plea has been raised or an inquest made by our order before we took the cross. But as soon as we return, or if perchance we desist from our expedition, we will immediately grant full justice in accordance with the laws of the Welsh and in relation to the aforesaid regions. 58. We will immediately give up the son of Llewellyn and all the hostages of Wales, and the charters delivered to us as security for the peace. 59. We will do towards Alexander, King of Scots, concerning the return of his sisters and his hostages, and concerning his franchises and his right, in the same manner as we shall do towards our other barons of England, unless it ought to be otherwise according to the charters which we hold from William his father, formerly King of Scots, and this shall be according to the judgment of his peers in our court. 60. Moreover, all these aforesaid customs and liberties, the observances of which we have granted in our kingdom as far as pertains to us towards our men, shall be observed be all of our kingdom, as well clergy as laymen, as far as pertains to them towards their men. 61. Since moveova, for God and the amendment of our kingdom, and for the better allaying of the quarrel that has arisen between us and our barons, we have granted all these concessions, desirous that they should enjoy them in complete and firm endurance forever, we give and grant to them the underwrit security, namely, that the barons choose 25 barons of the kingdom, whomsoever they will, who shall be bound with all their might to observe and hold and cause to be observed the peace and liberties we have granted and confirmed to them by this our present charter, so that if we or our justiciar or our bailiffs or any one of our officers shall in anything be at fault towards anyone, or shall have broken any one of the articles of this peace or of this security, and the offence be notified to 4 barons of the aforesaid 25, the said 4 barons shall repair to us or our justiciar, if we are out of the realm, and laying the transgression before us, petition to have that transgression redressed without delay. And if we shall not have corrected the transgression, or in the event of our being out of the realm, if our justiciar shall not have corrected it within 40 days, reckoning from the time it has been intimated to us, or to our justiciar, if we should be out of the realm, The four barons aforesaid shall refer that matter to the rest of the 25 barons, and those 25 barons shall together with the community of the whole realm distrain and distress us in all possible ways, namely, by seizing our castles, lands, possessions, and in any other way they can, until redress has been obtained as they deem fit, saving harmless our own person and the persons of our queen and children. And when redress has been obtained, they shall resume their old relations towards us. And let whoever in the country desires it swear to obey the orders of the said 25 barons for the execution of all the aforesaid matters, and along with them to molest us to the utmost of his power, and we publicly and freely grant leave to everyone who wishes to swear, and we shall never forbid anyone to swear. All those, Muvava, in the land who of themselves and of their own accord are unwilling to swear to the 25 to help them in constraining and molesting us, we shall by our command compel the same to swear to the effect foresaid. And if any one of the 25 barons shall have died or departed from the land or be incapacitated in any other manner which would prevent the foresaid provisions being carried out, those of the said 25 barons who are left shall choose another in his place according to their own judgment, and he shall be sworn in the same way as the others. Further, in all matters, the execution of which is entrusted to these 25 barons. If perchance these 25 are present and disagree about anything, or if some of them, after being summoned, are unwilling or unable to be present, that which the majority of those present ordain or command shall be held as fixed and established, exactly as if the whole 25 had concurred in this, and the said 25 shall swear that they will faithfully observe all that is aforesaid and cause it to be observed with all their might. And we shall procure nothing from anyone, directly or indirectly, whereby any part of these concessions and liberties might be revoked or diminished. And if any such things has been procured, let it be void and null, and we shall never use it, personally or by another. 62. And all the will, hatreds, and bitterness that have arisen between us and our men, clergy, and lay from the date of the quarrel, we have completely remitted and pardoned to everyone. Moreover, all trespasses occasioned by the said quarrel from Easter in the 16th year of our reign till the restoration of peace, we have fully remitted to all, both clergy and laymen, and completely forgiven as far as pertains to us. And on this head we have caused to be made for them letters testimonial patent of the Lord Stephen, Archbishop of Canterbury, of the Lord Henry, Archbishop of Dublin, of the bishops aforesaid, and of Master Pandulf, as touching this security and the concessions aforesaid. 63. Wherefore we will and firmly order that the English Church be free, and that the men in our kingdom have and hold all the aforesaid liberties, rights, and concessions, well and peaceably, freely and quietly, fully and wholly, for themselves and their heirs, of us and our heirs, in all respects and in all places forever, as is aforesaid. An oath, moreover, has been taken, as well on our part as on the part of the barons, that all these conditions aforesaid shall be kept in good faith and without evil intent. Given under our hand, the above named and many others being witnesses, in the meadow which is called Runnymede, between Windsor and Staines, on the 15th day of June, in the 17th year of our reign. End of the project GUTMBRG EBOOK the MAGNA CARTA asterisk. Updated editions will replace the previous one. The old editions will be renamed, creating the works from print editions not protected by U.S. copyright. Law means that no one owns a United States copyright in these works, so the Foundation and you can copy and distribute it in the United States without permission and without paying copyright royalties. Special rules set forth in the General Terms of Use part of this license apply to copying and distributing Project Gutenberg trademark electronic works to protect the Project GUTMBRGTM concept and trademark. Project Gutenberg is a registered trademark and may not be used if you charge for an ebook, except by following the terms of the trademark license, including paying royalties for use of the Project Gutenberg trademark. If you do not charge anything for copies of this ebook, complying with the trademark license is very easy. You may use this ebook for nearly any purpose, such as creation of derivative works, reports, performances, and research. Project Gutenberg ebooks may be modified and printed and given away. You may do practically anything in the United States with ebooks not protected by U.S. copyright law. Redistribution is subject to the trademark license, especially commercial redistribution. Start, full license. The full Project GUTMBRGTM license please read this before you distribute or use this work, to protect the Project Gutenberg trademark mission of promoting the free distribution of electronic works by using or distributing this work, or any other work associated in any way with the phrase Project Gutenberg. You agree to comply with all the terms of the full Project Gutenberg license available with this file or online at www.gutenberg.org/license. Section 1. General Terms of Use and Redistributing Project Gutenberg Electronic Works. 1A. By reading or using any part of this Project Gutenberg electronic work, you indicate that you have read, understand, agree to, and accept all the terms of this license and intellectual property trademark copyright agreement. If you do not agree to abide by all the terms of this agreement, you must cease using and return or destroy all copies of Project Gutenberg electronic works in your possession. If you paid a fee for obtaining a copy of or access to a Project Gutenberg electronic work and you do not agree to be bound by the terms of this agreement, you may obtain a refund from the person or entity to whom you paid the fee as set forth in paragraph 1E8(1)(b). Project Gutenberg is a registered trademark. It may only be used on or associated in any way with an electronic work by people who agree to be bound by the terms of this agreement. There are a few things that you can do with most Project Gutenberg electronic works, even without complying with the full terms of this agreement. See paragraph 1C below. There are a lot of things you can do with Project Gutenberg electronic works if you follow the terms of this agreement and help preserve free future access to Project Gutenberg electronic works. See paragraph 1E below 1C. The Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, the Foundation or PGLAF, owns a compilation copyright in the collection of Project Gutenberg electronic works. Nearly all the individual works in the collection are in the public domain in the United States. If an individual work is unprotected by copyright law in the United States and you are located in the United States, we do not claim a right to prevent you from copying, distributing, performing, displaying, or creating derivative works based on the work as long as all references to Project Gutenberg are removed. Of course, we hope that you will support the Project Gutenberg mission of promoting free access to electronic works by freely sharing Project Gutenberg works in compliance with the terms of this agreement for keeping the Project Gutenberg name associated with the work. You can easily comply with the terms of this agreement by keeping this work in the same format with its attached full Project Gutenberg license when you share it without charge with others. 1D. The copyright laws of the place where you are located also govern what you can do with this work. Copyright laws in most countries are in a constant state of change. If you are outside the United States, check the laws of your country in addition to the terms of this agreement before downloading, copying, displaying, performing, distributing, or creating derivative works based on this work or any other Project Gutenberg work. The Foundation makes no representations concerning the copyright status of any work in any country other than the United States. 1E. Unless you have removed all references to Project Gutenberg. 1E1. The following sentence with active links to or other immediate access to the full Project Gutenberg license must appear prominently whenever any copy of a Project Gutenberg work, any work, on which the phrase Project Gutenberg appears or with which the phrase Project Gutenberg is associated, is accessed, displayed, performed, viewed, copied, or distributed. This ebook is for the use of anyone anywhere in the United States and most other parts of the world at no cost and with almost no restrictions whatsoever. You may copy it, give it away, or reuse it under the terms of the Project Gutenberg trademark license included with this ebook or online at www.gutenberg.org. If you are not located in the United States, you will have to check the laws of the country where you are located before using this ebook. 1E2. If an individual Project Gutenberg electronic work is derived from texts not protected by U.S. copyright law, does not contain a notice indicating that it is posted with permission of the copyright holder, the work can be copied and distributed to anyone in the United States without paying any fees or charges. If you are redistributing or providing access to a work with the phrase Project Gutenberg associated with or appearing on the work, you must comply either with the requirements of paragraphs 1E1 through 1E7 or obtain permission for the use of the work and the Project Gutenberg trademark as set forth in paragraphs 1E8 or 1E9. 1E3. If an individual project Gutenberg electronic work is posted, with the permission of the copyright holder, your use and distribution must comply with both paragraphs 1E1 through 1E7 and any additional terms imposed by the copyright holder. Additional terms will be linked to the Project Gutenberg license for all works posted with the permission of the copyright holder found at the beginning of this work. 1E4. Do not unlink or detach or remove the full Project Gutenberg license terms from this work or any files containing a part of this work or any other work associated with Project Gutenberg. 1E5. Do not copy, display, perform, distribute, or redistribute this electronic work or any part of this electronic work without prominently displaying the sentence set forth in paragraph 1E1 with active links or immediate access to the full terms of the Project Gutenberg license. 1E6. You may convert to and distribute this work in any binary, compressed, marked up, non-proprietary or proprietary form, including any word processing or hypertext form. However, if you provide access to or distribute copies of a Project Gutenberg work in a format other than plain vanilla ASCII or other format used in the official version posted on the official Project Gutenberg website, www.gutenberg.org, you must, at no additional cost, fee, or expense to the user, provide a copy, a means of exporting a copy, or a means of obtaining a copy upon request of the work in its original plain vanilla ASCII or other form. Any alternate format must include the full Project Gutenberg license as specified in paragraph 1E1, 1E7. Do not charge a fee for access to, viewing, displaying, performing, copying, or distributing any Project Gutenberg works, unless you comply with paragraph 1E8 or 1E9. E8. You may charge a reasonable fee for copies of or providing access to or distributing Project Gutenberg electronic works, provided that you pay a royalty fee of 20% of the gross profits you derive from the use of Project Gutenberg works calculated using the method you already use to calculate your applicable taxes. The fee is owed to the owner of the Project Gutenberg trademark, but he has agreed to donate royalties under this paragraph to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation. Royalty payments must be paid within 60 days following each date on which you prepare or are legally required to prepare your periodic tax returns. Royalty payments should be clearly marked as such and sent to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation at the address specified in Section 4, Information about Donations to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation. You provide a full refund of any money paid by a user who notifies you in writing or by email within 30 days of receipt that s/he does not agree to the terms of the full Project Gutenberg trademark license. You must require such a user to return or destroy all copies of the works possessed in a physical medium and discontinue all use of and all access to other copies of Project Gutenberg trademark works. You provide, in accordance with paragraph 1F3, a full refund of any money paid for a work or a replacement copy if a defect in the electronic work is discovered and reported to you within 90 days of receipt of the work. You comply with all other terms of this agreement for free distribution of Project Gutenberg trademark works. 1E9. If you wish to charge a fee or distribute a Project Gutenberg trademark electronic work or group of works on different terms than are set forth in this agreement, you must obtain permission in writing from the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, the manager of the Project Gutenberg trademark. Contact the foundation as set forth in Section 3 below, 1F1F1. Project Gutenberg volunteers and employees expend considerable effort to identify, do copyright research on, transcribe, and proofread works not protected by U.S. copyright law in creating the Project Gutenberg trademark collection. Despite these efforts, Project Gutenberg trademark electronic works and the medium on which they may be stored may contain defects, such as, but not limited to, incomplete, inaccurate, or corrupt data, transcription errors, a copyright or other intellectual property infringement, a defective or damaged disk or other medium, a computer virus or computer codes that damage or cannot be read by your equipment. 1F2. Limited warranty disclaimer of damages, except for the right of replacement or refund described in paragraph 1F3, the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, the owner of the Project Gutenberg Trademark Trademark, and any other party distributing a project. Gutenberg Trademark Electronic Work under this agreement, disclaim all liability to you for damages, costs, and expenses, including legal fees. You agree that you have no remedies for negligence, strict liability, breach of warranty, or breach of contract, except those provided in paragraph 1F3. You agree that the foundation, THE, trademark owner, and any distributor under this agreement will not be liable to you for actual, direct, indirect, consequential, punitive or incidental damages, even if you give notice of the possibility of such damage. 1F3. Limited right of replacement or refund. If you discover a defect in this electronic work within 90 days of receiving it, you can receive a refund of the money, if any, you paid for it by sending a written explanation to the person you received the work from. If you receive the work on a physical medium, you must return the medium with your written explanation. The person or entity that provided you with the defective work may elect to provide a replacement copy in lieu of a refund. If you receive the work electronically, the person or entity providing it to you may choose to give you a second opportunity to receive the work electronically in lieu of a refund. If the second copy is also defective, you may demand a refund in writing, without further opportunities to fix the problem. 1F4. Except for the limited right of replacement or refund set forth in paragraph 1F3, this work is provided to you as is, with no other warranties of any kind, express or implied, including but not limited to warranties of merchantability or fitness for any purpose. 1F5. Some states do not allow disclaimers of certain implied warranties or the exclusion or limitation of certain types of damages. If any disclaimer or limitation set forth in this agreement violates the law of the state applicable to this agreement, the agreement shall be interpreted to make the maximum disclaimer or limitation permitted by the applicable state law. The invalidity or unenforceability of any provision of this agreement shall not void the remaining provisions. 1F6. Indemnity. You agree to indemnify and hold the foundation, the trademark owner, any agent or employee of the foundation, anyone providing copies of Project Gutenberg trademark electronic works in accordance with this agreement, and any volunteers associated with the production, promotion, and distribution of Project Gutenberg trademark electronic works, harmless from all liability, costs, and expenses, including legal fees that arise directly or indirectly from any of the following which you do or cause to occur: a distribution of this or any Project Gutenberg work, b alteration, modification, or additions or deletions to any Project Gutenberg work, and c any defect you cause. Section 2. Information about the mission of Project Gutenberg. Project Gutenberg is synonymous with the free distribution of electronic works in formats readable by the widest variety of computers, including obsolete, old, middle-aged, and new computers. Exists because of the efforts of hundreds of volunteers and donations from people in all walks of life. Volunteers and financial support to provide volunteers with the assistance they need are critical to reaching Project Gutenberg goals and ensuring that the Project Gutenberg collection will remain freely available for generations to come. In 2001, the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation was created to provide a secure and permanent future for Project Gutenberg and future generations. To learn more about the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation and how your efforts and donations can help, see Sections 3 and 4 and the Foundation Information page at www.gutenberg.org, Section 3. Information about the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation. The Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation is a nonprofit 501(c)(3) educational corporation organized under the laws of the state of Mississippi and granted tax-exempt status by the Internal Revenue Service. The foundation's EIN or federal tax identification number is 64622-1541. Contributions to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation are tax-deductible to the full extent permitted by U.S. federal laws and your state's laws. The foundation's business office is located at 41 Watchung Plaza 516, Montclair, NJ 7042, USA, +1-862-621-9288. Email contact links and up-to-date contact information can be found at the foundation's website an official page at www.gutenberg.org/contact, section 4. Information about donations to the Project Gutenberg. Literary Archive Foundation. Project Gutenberg trademark depends upon and cannot survive without widespread public support and donations to carry out its mission of increasing the number of public domain and licensed works that can be freely distributed in machine-readable form accessible by the widest array of equipment, including outdated equipment. Many small donations, $1 to $5,000, are particularly important to maintaining tax-exempt status with the IRS. The foundation is committed to complying with the laws regulating charities and charitable donations in all 50 states of the United States. Compliance requirements are not uniform, and it takes a considerable effort, much paperwork, and many fees to meet and keep up with these requirements. We do not solicit donations in locations where we have not received written confirmation of compliance. To send donations or determine the status of compliance for any particular state, visit www.gutenberg.org/donate. While we cannot and do not solicit contributions from states where we have not met the solicitation requirements, we know of no prohibition against accepting unsolicited donations from donors in such states who approach us with offers to donate. International donations are gratefully accepted, but we cannot make any statements concerning tax treatment of donations received from outside the United States. U.S. laws alone swamp our small staff. Please check the Project Gutenberg web pages for current donation methods and addresses. Donations are accepted in a number of other ways, including checks, online payments, and credit card donations. To donate, please visit www.gutenberg.org/donate, section 5. General information about Project Gutenberg Electronic Works. Professor Michael S. Hart was the originator of the project. Gutenberg concept of a library of electronic works that could be freely shared with anyone. For 40 years, he produced and distributed Project Gutenberg ebooks with only a loose network of volunteer support. Project Gutenberg ebooks are often created from several printed editions, all of which are confirmed as not protected by copyright in the U.S. unless a copyright notice is included. Thus, we do not necessarily keep ebooks in compliance with any particular paper edition. Most people start at our website, which has the main PG search facility, www.gutenberg.org. This website includes information about Project Gutenberg, including how to make donations to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, how to help produce our new ebooks, and how to subscribe to our email newsletter to hear about new ebooks. This is the end of the audiobook. Thank you for listening. You can listen to and download more audiobooks at threeords.com.